Well, welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, and today we're going to talk about vitamin D supplementation. It is widely known that lots of folks don't get enough vitamin D through their diet and sun exposure, particularly people who live in northern climates, older adults who don't spend much time outdoors, and people who have chronic illnesses. Moreover, vitamin D has been linked to a myriad of diseases, including asthma, heart disease, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, and more. But the data, to date at least, regarding the benefits of vitamin D supplementation have been very mixed. A recent systematic review and meta-analysis published in the British Medical Journal examined whether use of vitamin D supplementation reduced the risk of acute respiratory tract infections. Joining me today is Dr. Amanda Shardle from the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy and one of the associate editors for iFormRx. Dr. Shardle practices at the University of Maryland Baltimore Washington Medical Center, and she wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled, "Vitamin D to Prevent Respiratory Tract Infections, Is the Evidence Dazzling or Disappointing?" Amanda, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
So my first question to you, Amanda, if you had to briefly summarize in just a few sentences the study entitled "Vitamin D Supplementation to Prevent Acute Respiratory Tract Infections, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of Individual Participant Data," which was published in February 2017 in the British Medical Journal, to someone who hasn't read that paper, what would you say?
Well, this was a meta-analysis of 25 prospective randomized controlled trials evaluating the use of vitamin D supplementation in the prevention of acute respiratory tract infections. The primary outcome they were looking at was a composite of upper respiratory tract infections, lower respiratory tract infections, and respiratory tract infections of unclassified location. The investigators were also interested in identifying any factors influencing the effects of vitamin D supplementation, so they performed a number of subgroup analyses as well. What they found was a significant reduction in the proportion of patients experiencing at least one acute respiratory tract infection and the overall rate of acute respiratory tract infections in those patients receiving vitamin D. Also of note were subgroup analyses that showed a protective effect of vitamin D among those with baseline levels less than 10 nanograms per milliliter and patients on dosing regimens without bolus doses.
So Amanda, the strength and value of a systematic review and a meta-analysis come from examining the data in a comprehensive way across multiple studies. Tell us about the strengths and potential weaknesses of the methods used in this particular systematic review and meta-analysis.
One of the strengths of this study was in the search strategy that they used. The investigators used a number of different databases, including Medline, Embase, the Cochrane Central Register of Controlled Trials, to identify potential studies, as well as looking at reference lists from review articles and published trials, and by asking collaborators if they were aware of other trials. They also used comprehensive search terms to identify randomized controlled trials that were specific to vitamin D and acute respiratory tract infections. This search was also updated periodically, allowing for review and potential inclusion of even more studies. Another strength of the study is the use of individual participant data. So traditionally, meta-analyses rely on synthesis of aggregate data to formulate conclusions, which can lead to data that's missing, presented in different formats, and is more likely to be reported if it's a significant result. However, in a meta-analysis of individual participant data, the raw data from each study are obtained and analyzed. This allows for the original data's integrity to be verified before it's synthesized. Other advantages include the ability to standardize analyses across all studies, account for missing data, and adjust for baseline characteristics, which these investigators did. However, there were some major limitations to this meta-analysis. The investigators analyzed the heterogeneity of the results using the I-squared statistic. They found that the I-squared was 53%, which indicates that most of the heterogeneity was due to variability among the studies and not from chance. This level of heterogeneity can limit our confidence in making recommendations about the use of vitamin D to prevent acute respiratory tract infections. The analysis was also limited by potential bias. Individual studies were assessed using the Cochrane Collaboration Risk of Bias tool, and all but two were found to be at low risk of bias for all aspects assessed. However, when the investigators assessed for publication bias using a funnel plot, they found asymmetry, which indicates that small trials with negative results may not have been included in the analysis. Their exclusion from the analysis may have resulted in the outcomes being skewed towards seeing a benefit.
So as you note, Amanda, in this analysis, there was very significant variability among the included studies. There were differences in the dose, duration of vitamin D supplementation, the populations enrolled, the outcome measures. Nonetheless, the authors conclude that there are likely some populations that would benefit from vitamin D supplementation to prevent respiratory tract infections. So I'm wondering what your take is. Are there particular patient populations you think we should encourage to take vitamin D supplements? And if so, what dose of vitamin D would you recommend? Would you recommend that it be taken year-round or just during the cold winter months, for example, from October through March?
Well, I hesitate to make a strong recommendation about vitamin D supplementation based solely on the results of this analysis, given the degree of variability among the studies. The groups in the analysis that significantly benefited more from supplementation included patients with baseline vitamin D levels less than 10 nanograms per milliliter and patients on regimens that didn't include bolus doses. Based on this, I think it's reasonable that patients with very low baseline vitamin D levels receive supplementation, particularly since it's already recommended in the Endocrine Society's 2011 guidelines to prevent bone-related disorders. The guidelines recommendations about vitamin D dosing are weak, but based on high quality evidence. However, I think the evidence about vitamin D dosing from this meta-analysis is even weaker given the wide variety of dosing regimens used and the lack of significant benefit from one particular daily dose. So I'd recommend maintenance therapy of 400 to 1,000 units daily for kids under the age of 1, 600 to 1,000 units daily for kids between the age of 1 and 18, and 1,500 to 2,000 units daily for adults based on these guidelines. I think the patients with non-modifiable risk factors for vitamin D deficiency, such as being elderly or of African American or Hispanic descent, should receive maintenance therapy year-round since sun exposure likely plays a smaller role in their vitamin D status. However, in patients whose major risk factor for vitamin D deficiency is due to limited sun exposure, I think it's reasonable to supplement just during the cold weather months.
Okay, Amanda, I want you to imagine you're seeing a 35-year-old African-American male for asthma education. Patient is currently taking fluticasone plus salmeterol, an inhaler, for moderate persistent asthma, and phenofexine tablets and fluticasone nasal spray for allergic rhinitis. The patient states adherence to these medications since the last time he saw you 6 months ago, and his inhaler technique appears to be very good. The patient had a severe asthma exacerbation last year, which resulted in an emergency department visit, and that episode appears to have been triggered by an upper respiratory tract infection. The patient also reports that he's had recurrent bouts of bacterial and viral infections, sinus infections, and upper respiratory tract infections over the past 5 years. The patient works in an office job and doesn't spend a lot of time outdoors due to his allergies, and he's kind of concerned that his allergies might trigger his asthma symptoms. Would you recommend that this patient take vitamin D supplementation? Is there a specific dose, dosage form, and duration you'd recommend? Would you recommend that he be tested for vitamin D deficiency before taking supplements? And if this patient were older, let's say 75 years old and had COPD, would your recommendations be any different?
Well, this patient is clearly at an increased risk of vitamin D deficiency given his race, his limited sun exposure due to both his job and his desire to avoid environmental asthma triggers, and his use of an inhaled steroid. So because of this, I would recommend first obtaining a baseline vitamin D level to assess how deficient he is, which will help guide me in developing a regimen for vitamin D repletion and maintenance therapy. If his vitamin D is less than 10 nanograms per milliliter, he may experience a reduction in the number of upper respiratory tract infections and episodes of sinusitis with vitamin D supplementation, given the results that were seen in this meta-analysis. If, however, his vitamin D is between 10 and 30 nanograms per milliliter, he should still receive vitamin D supplementation to promote bone health, but he's less likely to receive a respiratory benefit. This recommendation wouldn't necessarily change if the patient was older and had COPD, since he would still be at an increased risk of vitamin D deficiency, given his other risk factors. Of note, this meta-analysis didn't find a significant benefit of vitamin D supplementation in patients with asthma or COPD. However, less than half of the trials looked at patients with these conditions, so a lack of benefit may be due to underpowering, and further research in these patient populations would be beneficial for our understanding of this topic.
Well, Amanda, I want to thank you for joining us today to discuss the use of vitamin D supplementation to prevent acute respiratory tract infections. And it's clear from your comments that you believe that vitamin D can make a difference in some patient populations, particularly those patients with very low vitamin D stores. Well, tell us what you think. Should we recommend vitamin D supplementation to patients who are at high risk for respiratory tract infections or at high risk for low vitamin D stores? And if so, under what circumstances? What is the role for screening for vitamin D deficiency? Only iFormRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.